Welcome to Route 31 Credit Union's business podcast, The Extra Mile. My name is Nick Green, and I'm one of the hosts. And today we are sitting down with Brent Rath from Ketchmark Technologies, and we're going to be talking about using AI in business. I'm super excited for this podcast. Brent, thank you so much for taking time out of your week. I know you're a busy guy, so I do appreciate your time.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to help out in any way that I can.
Awesome. So before we get talking about AI, let's talk a little bit about Brent and Ketchmark Technologies and how that all came to fruition for you.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been a technologist now for more than 20 years, which is kind of weird to say when you start talking about it. I have worked in various roles kind of all over the world. So I kind of got my start in the service, worked for Northrop Grumman overseas, my wife and I, and my first son was born overseas. Long story short, a few different roles within the federal government, ended up back in the States and back in the place that I grew up. I was doing cybersecurity consulting, kind of working from home, traveling, and my kids were getting a little bit older, and I was getting to the point where I was tired of being on the road. And I had a really good friend of mine from high school. You know, people talk about it being relational, like everything's relational.
Yeah.
Named Chris Dawson. Chris called me. And he had called me over the years, asked me different questions about tech, and, you know, he was a CPA kind of in charge of tech at his business. And, he was calling me to ask me my opinion on a position description that he had and a, you know, and salary requirements. And was he on point? And mm-hmm. So I entertained him. I listened to the whole thing. And at the end I said, you know, I'm not going to help you. And he said, why? And I said, I'm interested. And he said, really? He goes, I never thought you would be interested. And I said, well, I am. I said, what do you think about me interviewing for this? And so I did. I have to mention, I turned him down the first time when he offered. So I went through the whole interview process. They're like, yeah, we want you. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to stick it out here. About a month later, I called him and I said, hey, is that thing still available? Yeah. And he said, as much as it pains me to say this, he goes, we couldn't find anybody we liked as much as you. And so he,
nice.
I started at a company called Ag Business Solutions who
Yeah, no problem.
They do back-end business services for a very large dairy co-op throughout the Midwest. And
okay.
So they do legal, financial, real estate, and technology. And so—
Interesting trifecta there.
Yeah. So yeah. They, pretty much anything you can imagine a dairy farmer wouldn't want to do, they manage all that on the back, you know, financing and insurance and all that stuff. So that's kind of where I got my start and kind of where Ketchmark got its start. I worked for Ag Business as their director of tech, CIO. You know, they're not big on labels or titles. And for about 2 years, 2.5 years. And basically, we started getting interest outside of our group for some of the tech help and some of the tech stuff that we were doing. And there were some barriers there because of co-ownership and big players in the dairy industry kind of being part of the ownership group of Ag Business. And so we kind of got together and we brainstormed. The managing partner of Ag Business, Rick Blau, Chris Dawson, who was my good friend, who kind of put me onto this. And we kind of came up with the idea of why don't we break this out and deliver services external to our group. And at the time we did that, we were about 99% what I would call cousins, internal.
Yeah.
Customers, which is great for me. I didn't have to stomp and go on the road and try to find people. And about 1% external. Today, we've got a pretty significant flip after 13 years where we still have a lot of those customers that were internal still on board. Some of those that aren't, we sold off or the group sold off and, you know, some of those things.
Yeah.
But we're about in a 90-10 in the opposite direction now. And so we deliver services to every kind of industry and business type there is. So, once we got started, we just kind of continued to grow it, and it just kind of took off from there. But it was me at first. That was it.
Yeah, just
so,
you.
Yep.
Solo. All right. So two locations. So one in Grand Rapids.
Correct.
And one in beautiful downtown Whitehall.
Whitehall, yeah.
Gorgeous office. I've been there. Walk me through it. You guys do a lot. So let's just talk about how you kind of influence the business community here in Muskegon County. We can talk a little bit about Kent County, but, you know, we have our preference here.
Yeah,
so.
So we do have two offices. I always joke around that we have more customers in Muskegon County and bigger customers in you know, Kent, Ottawa County. We do have out-of-state customers as well. But as far as, you know, a lot of people ask me why Whitehall. Our first office was in Coopersville. We moved to Grand Rapids with Ag Business Solutions, and we're in the same building as them, right across from WZZM. But about 6-7 years ago, we opened an office in Whitehall. And really, that's it's relational. It's where I'm from. I have a big desire to I think everybody should get out of where they grew up. And then I think that you should take those lessons you've learned and bring them back. And so I had a real big desire to bring the things that I had learned in my career and get just kind of my journey back to a place that helped me become who I was. And so, you know, we found some customers there. We found a niche. You know, lots of people knew who we were. So, yeah, so that's kind of where we came back to and why. The mission of Catchmark is to help people and solve problems. And we take that seriously, and we felt like we could do that in a significant way in a bit of a smaller community, and so we've done that. You know, we've invest heavily in the areas where we're at, both with our time, you know, and with our dollars, and with our expertise. So, you know, we've done all kinds of different things in those local areas. You know, we try to serve. I'm part of our Rotary, Whitehall-Montague-Whitehall Rotary. You know, I'm part of the Chamber of Commerce. I'm on the school board. And we encourage all of our teammates to do those types of things. So from an influence perspective, it's really just helping people. Yeah. I mean, I really don't know. I mean, that's the best way you can be an influence wherever you're at is use the God-given skills you have and the resources you had and help people. And so does that kind of answer your question?
I love it. Yeah. Good. People helping people. That's I've said it numerous times on this podcast, but that's where that's the heart of the credit union as well. But I think you made a valid point about, you know, getting out of where you grew up.
Yeah.
Taking those experiences. Thanks for your service, by the way.
Yeah, no problem.
As a veteran. And then bringing that back home. And like, that's a really strong statement. And I think whoever's listening needs to write that down, because that's great information. And I think you make a valid point. Being a Rotarian, I'm a fellow Rotarian myself, you know, servant hearts, et cetera. And I think it shows in the work. You know, we've had a few conversations, but just the presentation that even triggered me to talk about this was about AI, and we'll start getting into that here in a minute. But it came from a perspective of you should absolutely do this for your business. Did not come from that. It came from a perspective of, hey, I want to help you serve your community better by enabling this in your business. So I just brushed on it. You gave the presentation on using AI in your business.
Yeah.
So let's just talk real quick about how this came to fruition on the why you think AI is important to consider in someone's business plan.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I like the shovel and the excavator.
Yeah. I'm gonna lean on that. Yeah. I'm very much a fan of, you know, like I said, I've been a technologist for a long time now, and I think that make things simple. And make things in a way appear in a way that people can understand it. And so, as I was kind of trying to prepare for that, and as I've thought about just AI use, you know, the ethics of AI use, all the baggage that comes with that, really, what you boil it down to is it's a tool to be used. And so, how could I create an analogy that made sense to someone who gets maybe lost in the bits and the bytes, and it's, you know, large language models and, you know, all the different, the beast that it is to make it work, right? And so at its core, it's a tool. It's a tool to help you in whatever you plan to do, whether you're a business owner, whether you're a philanthropist, whether I'm working on the school board, whether I'm working with the Rotary, whether I'm, you know, helping my kids, it's a tool. And so, you know, I tried to break that down simply, like, it's kind of scary to a lot of people.
It is,
And so the analogy of the shovel, right? That we had a shovel, and that was a tool better than our hands to dig holes. And people got really good with that shovel. They were able to dig, they were able to move dirt faster than they would on their hands and knees and just kind of pulling it out, doggy style, right? Like just like moving the dirt. And, so that works great. And you can become very skilled at using that shovel. But wouldn't you want to use an excavator if it was available? Now, the first time you see an excavator, it's scary.
Yeah.
Right? It's big. It's a lot of buttons. There's lots of stuff there. So, you know, you need to know how to use it properly, but it is a tool to dig the holes faster. And Sometimes maybe not better. There's still a point where maybe you need to hand dig if you're in tight between buildings. I used to dig water and sewer lines for Ryerson Septic, and we were the hand dig tool or crew. So we would go in and dig a line that you couldn't get an excavator in, right? Even the small ones. So does that kind of answer your question?
Yeah, all no, 100%. Yeah. I think you tying in a great analogy there with the hand digging, because excavator, it's great. It's fast. It can move exponentially more dirt, quote unquote, and speaking in the business side of things within your business. But you have to be careful because there's quote unquote gas lines. Yeah. There's water lines that you could hit if not used properly. And that segues us right into the negative connotations associated with AI. And, you know, there's concerns out there. When I first started looking at AI, I was like, this is kind of creepy. It's very creepy. It kind of knows what I'm thinking a little bit. But as I got to use it more, and I use it every day in my everyday life as well as professional life, I do not use any sensitive credit union information on there, just for a pointer. The more you use it, it really just really starts to understand you. But you have to be careful with it, like everything. And let's go into that and, ease some of those
fears.
Some of those fears.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think first off, it has become like an assistant to me, like a really, really intelligent assistant that never sleeps and never needs to eat, never needs to go to the bathroom and is always there.
You don't have to pay it.
You don't have to pay it. A little bit. If you want maybe the pro version.
Yeah, pro version.
As far as the scariness, we fear what we don't know.
Yep.
And I think that you can see throughout history how that's manifested multiple times, right? And in the talk, I kind of gave some of those examples. People were scared to death of electricity when it first came out. People were scared to death of microwaves, and people are scared. Like, those types of things are scary, right? Automobiles and you know, any kind of crazy thing you could think of, there was a group of people that were scared of it, right? And I think that it's because we don't know. We don't know what this thing is going to do. We don't know what it's... Yeah, it's brand new, and the other analogy that I didn't really use in my talk, but I would bring up is, you know, any significant technological advantage is going to look like magic. And so if we took half of what we do today back 100 years, people would be terrified.
Yeah.
Right? A fighter jet flying over the top of a city 100 years ago, people would be like, what was
alien
that?
Spacecraft.
Alien spacecraft, right? So I think we don't have that context to know where it's going. So, of course, the narratives we're going to create are going to be scary because, we're kind of pre-programmed to be risk averse. And so that is always there. I think that's always something that you got to think about. But I also think that when you sit back and you think rationally, this is a phenomenal tool. We just have to make it more useful.
Yeah.
And it's really not going to be the tool that we need to be afraid of. It's how we use the tool that's really to be feared, right? Like,
It's the human aspect. How is the human going to use it to make it scary?
Exactly. I mean, cars inherently are not dangerous by themselves when they're just sitting in your driveway.
Right.
It's when somebody gets in one that doesn't know how to drive it and they go out and they crash into people, right? So I think it's kind of that scenario. The one thing that AI does that makes it a little more scary is that it gets better.
Yeah.
Whereas the car sitting in the driveway, it's going to be a sedan. You know, your Camry's going to be a Camry when we go back out there.
Man,
it's not going to turn into a Vette or a Lamborghini or a Porsche. It's still going to be that car. Where AI, because it does learn and it does adapt and it does get better, it incrementally improves itself and it can kind of learn some of those things. So we don't know where that's going to go.
Yeah, go back and look up, for those listening or watching, go back and look up some of the old electric ads.
They're crazy.
The one you had with the spider and it was like shocking people. And like
little
the
kid
microwave.
Hanging from the power lines. Yeah, like, how do you get up there?
So right, extreme. Like, and it drives home a valid point that it's the fear of the unknown. And, I think the layoffs recently with the ports, thankfully they settled.
Yes.
They went back to work this morning. But a lot of that, I don't think a lot of it, it was about a 50-50 split potentially, and I might be going off the rails a little bit, but they were scared of the automation. But AI is used in that dock automation.
Yeah.
And so they're feeling replaced and not as pertinent to the job.
Yeah, which are all valid feelings.
Yeah,
like, I would never sit here and say, like, you know, that's not a valid feeling.
Right.
I'm a very big proponent, you know, you're going to get into my kind of philosophies. I'm a very big proponent of accountability and taking ownership. And so the only way you're going to be replaced is if you're replaceable.
Right.
And so, like, again, I'm probably going to take some heat if this goes out. Like,
yeah.
But, you know, the job is just going to change. You're gonna have to adapt to where that river is flowing and make sure you meet that new challenge. And AI has the potential to replace a lot of things, and it's going to make things easier, but for sure. I mean, I see a point in the future where it's going to impact my business, right? Like, just general level help desk support will likely be handled by AI.
Yeah.
It's not going to need a technician sitting on the other end anymore. A certain level of support is going to be able to be handled by AI, and people won't be able to tell the difference, right?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Well, that means that those people that are filling those roles need to adapt and find different skills. Like, how do you make that tool work for you and make it meaningful?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a weird, exciting time to be in, I would say.
We feel a little bit in the financial space.
Oh, yeah.
With fintechs that come out. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, I think one thing that keeps humans engaged and not leaning as heavily on those still is humans crave emotion and connection.
Yes.
And when you still have that aspect in your business, I think it helps. So,
yeah.
Yeah. We could probably do a whole different podcast
about
that stuff.
Sure.
So what are some ways that AI, you kind of brushed on them, but maybe let's go a little deeper. How can you use AI to help small businesses run more efficiently around here?
Yeah.
Anybody, really.
Yeah. So, I mean, I would start with the simplest use of it, which is you've already talked a little bit about how you use it, right?
Yeah.
Like, just from a day-to-day perspective, making it work for you to make your job easier. You know, I must use it, man, 100 times a day. And it's anything from, man, I wrote this email, I'm not sure if it sounds right, let me throw it in AI and change the tone. I wrote the email, I'm throwing it in there, I want a different tone. I don't always accept exactly what it said, but it just makes it go that much faster. So writing, analysis of large data sets, you know, again, I wouldn't advocate dropping customer information or sensitive information into it.
100%.
But you could drop a large data set in there and say, hey, you know, find errors or find things that were wrong. You know, writing policies, a big way. You know, we do a lot of cybersecurity work, and for policy writing, it's phenomenal, right? Mm-hmm. I can say, write a configuration management policy, a NIST 867 framework, and it will go out, it will look to see NIST, it will digest it, and it will spit back a policy that's really pretty good. Now, how do I know it's pretty good? Well, because I know what that's supposed to look like.
Right.
If you're doing that and you don't know or you don't have that baseline knowledge, you might want to check it over, have somebody look at it. But something that might have taken me 2 hours to write turns into a 30-second rough draft and a 15-minute, you know, edit to get it to where it needs to be. So I would start there, just the simple little things that you do day to day. We use it a lot in the marketing side, like social media management, you know, creating slide decks. Hey, I've got this idea. Here's the topics I want to present. Can you break this down into slide decks? It's not going to create the PowerPoint or the Canva deck for you, but it's going to give you the title and the ideas. And so that's where I would start with it. It's a very low risk way to get involved and to see just what it can do and start to learn what can happen there. You know, we touched on the dairy industry a bit. We are working a big project right now with an AI company at some of our dairy farms. Where we want to make sure that animal welfare is being maintained at very large dairy farms, right? Like,
that's awesome.
Make sure that the calves and the cows and those things are being handled correctly and taken care of. So we're working with this company where it is actually, there's an AI server running on site. It takes, you know, 200 high-def cameras that are placed throughout the dairy farm, watching all human and cow interaction areas, and it can detect abuse. So it will flag abuse based on patterns that it's learned. So you let it sit on the dairy farm. It takes in the data set. It learns. It spits back things to the dairy farmer who says, yeah, that's abuse, yet no, that's not. And as you get more and more farms involved, the data set gets bigger. And it, I mean, it's at like a 90-some percent accuracy now. So where you couldn't monitor your entire site, now you can. Now you don't have to be in the maternity barn watching cows calf to make sure that they're being treated properly. So that's just one example of how you can use it. Seeing a lot of usage. We're working on another project with a customer. Chatbot. People come on the website. They want to know more. And, you know, everybody's going to go, oh, the bot. So this is a smarter bot. This is a bot that's pre-set up with data and information about your business. And, you know, if you're a construction company, they know what products you use. Yeah. Right. So it's not going to suggest just general tiling. It's going to suggest the product that you use and applied in the manner that you would have it applied. So, I mean, the sky's really the limit on what it's going to be able to do and how it's going to be able to help. And the businesses that adopt and really lean into that are the businesses that are going to, I think, really find they're going to outperform their peers, I would say. So
it's huge for marketing. I think just even getting started and wanting to start a business, it can help you develop a very in-depth business plan, which are incredibly hard to put together from the get-go. So it gives you a beautiful framework. And, you know, there's all kinds of resources around here locally at GVSU campus and et cetera, Small Business Development Corp. But it's a great start if you want to start a business. And then once you're in it, you touched on it, marketing, social media ideas, et cetera, policies and procedures. The sky's the limit with it.
And the better you get at it, the better the results are. It kind of pisses me off, to be honest with you, because a lot of that stuff, you know, I feel like the age that I am, I feel blessed in a way. I grew up without cell phones and without the internet.
Yeah.
But I was young enough that stuff started, you know, that you adopt it. And same thing with this. I'm blessed that I grew up in a time when, you know, I did have to kind of work through that stuff. But at the same time, I'm like, man, the amount of stuff I slaved over that this thing can do in 4 seconds, I'm like, you know, where was the excavator?
I'm thinking all those psychology papers I wrote. I could have made short work of all of these.
You know, but use it ethically, right? Like you want to make sure you're doing it the right way. So
there are ways that you can check copyright infringement within AI. So yes, just be careful with that.
Yeah.
So we've talked a lot about it. So what are some available options out there, programs you can use that are no cost, low cost?
So, I mean, just the simplest, easiest ones, Gemini, ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. I believe they both have free versions. ChatGPT, we use both Gemini and ChatGPT for stuff that we do, different things. We're always testing them back and forth, just to see what they're good at and how they respond. Mm-hmm. ChatGPT for $20, you can get the pro version, which unlocks a whole bunch of other stuff. Huge value. I mean, $20 a month to get some of the stuff that you get out of it is amazing. So those would be some of the lower level, Copilot's another one. Everything's being built in. I know I'm not an Apple guy. If you've been in tech for a long time, I think sometimes the enterprise management of Mac devices kind of turns you off to them. So I'm going to clown on Apple a little bit. They did release their new iPhone. Supposed to have it. Not there yet, but they'll get there, right?
The beta testers have it.
Yeah, the beta testers happen. Yeah. So, I got a new Google Pixel 9. It came, it's all built in, and it's got a special chip to run AI. There's some phenomenal things, goofy stuff and Pixels have been able to do some of this stuff for a while, but I have an automated assistant that when somebody calls me and I don't recognize the number, I click them over and it's gotten so good that you really might not know that you're not talking to somebody else. And I get a transcript of what they're saying and can decide whether I want to pick up the phone or not. What I mean? And so a lot of this stuff is just being built in imagery. It's been phenomenal. So, I would start there. I mean, start small, get an idea of what you want to do, and then move on from that. But I mean, there's Dolly, there's a bazillion different plugins that you can use in ChatGPT or standalone systems that you can use. And they all have different features and functions that they can do, you know, anywhere from, I want to process diagram with, you know, arrows and boxes and, or I want an image, or I want, you know, a painting, or I want this, you know, there, anything you can kind of think of, they're getting out there. So, yeah.
I dabble in the arts a little bit myself, just as a hobby and a creative outlet. And I've used Midjourney.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And it's pretty incredible how you can take your, like what I have envisioned in my brain and write it out, and then how closely it comes to what I was actually picturing in my head. I'm colorblind, so I don't use a lot of colors in that. So it kind of does that for me.
Figures it out.
It figures it out, but it always comes up with really, it produces some really cool images. And it's amazing how you can keep telling it to go and get more detailed. And, you know, maybe this part, let's be, you know, more animated, but this part more realism. Yep. And it just, it's absolutely incredible.
It just knows. It's pretty amazing. We've got a couple of media outlets that we write a lot of articles for, and we use it a lot in articles. And it's funny. We always have people that are like, well, this is AI or this is not AI. And the fact that they don't know means that they don't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So, and you can use it well and you can use it poorly. I mean, you can certainly write an article in it that nobody would know. And you can certainly write an article where they're like, That's definitely not who wrote this, right?
Yeah.
But the same way, I can turn that article in and I can say, write this in a, you know, a 50s gangster style.
Right.
You know, and or I want this in a 30s writing style, 30s sportscaster writing style, right? Like in a second, it'll be something different. And
that's cool.
Like you said, the creativity with it is just amazing. So
it really is. So we're getting people a little comfortable. They're looking at the excavator. They even got in it a little bit. So now you sit down and I don't know if anybody's ever been in one, but it is a little intimidating.
It is intimidating.
I had a water line break like 10 years ago and I had to rent one. And so anyway,
it was now fun. We're inside. It was fun though, wasn't it?
Oh, I had a blast. Yeah. I wanted to like buy one and just have it. Why are you just digging holes all day? It's therapy.
It's just there. Yeah.
So now we're in the excavator and there's a lot of buttons and a lot of controls. So metaphorically speaking, using AI, how would one yield the best result and dig the best hole?
Well, it depends on the tool, is what I would say. The better the data set, the better results you're going to get, the more information. And the better the data set is tailored to what you're trying to get out of it. So I use the example of dairy farms, right? That AI tool is going to be very poor at detecting animal welfare abuse. If its data set is squirrels, right? Or its data set is a grocery store, videos of grocery stores, right? So you need the data set to be targeted to what you're trying to do. And you also need it to be, the larger it is, the better it is. That's why a lot of these, you know, a lot of these systems take enormous amounts of computing power and enormous amounts of energy, right? It's to be able to churn that through. But from a personal perspective, if you ask it stupid questions, you're going to get stupid answers. So you have to almost be a good, you have to be good at asking questions, and be good at prompts. There's whole courses now on how do you write a good prompt to get out what you want. So in your description, when you're trying to create an image, the more descriptive and the better you are at writing what you want to see, the better AI is going to respond to that, right? And the quicker. And as you play with it, you learn, okay, this is what I have to write. This is what I have to write. So for example, when I'm writing an article, for CatchMark Sportsnet, for example, I'm always start with write me a print article, right? That key phrase print article takes it in a different formatting direction than it would if I left that out. If I said, write me an article or write me a blog, it'll do things different based on that. And so your prompt and how you write your prompt is super, super important to what you're going to get out of it. Just like if we're sitting here and you're asking me bad questions, you're going to probably get bad responses, right? It's the same concept. So, does that help?
Well, good thing we're on the right path. I think that's valid. And that's all part of the learning curve is understanding how to prompt it.
So,
in addition to this podcast and speaking about the generalities of AI.
Yeah.
please educate yourself on how to prompt it and walk through that. Brent, thank you so much for speaking about AI and business with me today and a little bit about Catchmark Technologies. Really appreciate your time, and go ahead and speak.
Yeah. I appreciate being here. If you are in need of somebody to solve technology problems, big, small, large, little, anything you can kind of think of, Catchmark Technologies is here for you. We love to solve problems, and we love to help people.
Awesome. It's all about people helping people.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially in Muskegon County.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you.